Thank you for joining us for the Noon Book Hour. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow for our next installment from the Recording Library of West Texas.
Texas began as a distinctive place, and it remains so today. In 1973, Texas Monthly Magazine was founded to cover all aspects of the Texas lifestyle. Each week, Recording Library of West Texas volunteers and staff dig through the files of the National Magazine of Texas to bring you Texas Monthly Archives. You'll hear biographical articles about some of the most fascinating Texans, feature stories covering interesting places and things in Texas, and short pieces that are humorous and thought-provoking. Tune in to hear these stories covering contemporary Texas from the 70s, 80s, and 90s that would otherwise be lost to time. Texas Monthly Archives, Thursday nights at 7, Sunday afternoons at 2, and Mondays at midnight on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 79 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-50s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Hello, this is Michael with a programming reminder. The coronavirus update will now air this afternoon following the local newspapers at 4:30 p.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
This program is made available to the IAAIS program share and was recorded at the audio reading service of the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Healthy Life, and I'm your reader, Tony Ray, with the audio reading service of the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Men's Health, and I'm going to begin with a lengthy article about the Top 10 Fear Power List, Understanding Modern Fear and Learn to Thrive Even with the Uncertainty. The article begins with information from Nicholas Keraton, Ph.D., The Incredibly Complex World of Fear. Nicholas Keraton, Ph.D., a professor of clinical psychology at the University of Regina in Canada, published a somewhat provocative paper in the Journal of Anxiety Disorders several years ago. He began by reprinting and altering a passage by J.R.R. Tolkien. One fear to rule them all, one fear to find them, he wrote. One fear to bring them all and, in the black box, find them. There are two important concepts to take away from this paper. The first, scientists are huge dorks. Second, one of the biggest causes of fear and anxiety is uncertainty. Our brains, little monkey prediction engines, hate it. They behave strangely around it, like math when it nears infinity. And if you imagine an infinity of uncertainty, you could get much closer. You couldn't get much closer than 2020. A pandemic, a racial reckoning, a failure of institutions, storms and fires no one could predict. America is clearly becoming a more frightened nation, says L. Edward Day, Ph.D., a researcher at Chapman University, which does an annual fear survey. Only one fear in 2015 tops 10 scared more than 50% of the population. Now, all 10 are higher than 50%. Intolerance of uncertainty is one of the three major risk factors that can lead to problems with anxiety and depression. The other two are fear of feeling fearful and social isolation. All three are up from normal levels. Since early in the pandemic, a lab has been working on new ways to help people handle these unprecedented times. In intervention, a group session and an app that helps people myth bust their maladaptive thoughts then encourages them to do behavioral experiments, such as leaving home without double-checking that the front door is locked. And by the time they get home, they've proven to themselves that they can handle the uncertainty, and most likely, their home is fine. The takeaway is the thing you were afraid of happening isn't probably going to happen. And a lot of times, if it does, it's not that bad. The fear is usually a miscalculation, our cautious brains believing it better to see a monster than what's actually there, a boundless statistical gray area. Why do we even feel fear? Because people who didn't would get Darwined out of existence pretty quickly. But that's the problem with trying to beat fear, especially in a time in which some of our worst imaginings have manifested themselves in objective, observable reality. Every so often, our stupid brains are right. The key is to manage fear in a way that helps you live your most productive life. Usually, fear is seen as a negative emotion, but it's also the engine of a range of recreational activities and really at the source of meaningful, pleasurable experiences for a lot of people. If you're looking to harness your fear for the power of good, I'm going to give you a few tips and stories from writers over the next few readings. The first one is defang your fear memories. The new science of fear extinction could kill off many phobias. People with phobia have an emotional memory that involves an association between whatever scares them, say for it's spiders, and a dreaded outcome, being attacked by those spiders. Dutch researchers recently proved that you can override these fears by exposing a person to the source of the phobia, a tarantula in the study, and administering a beta blocker. What's happening, explains Margita Koros, a psychologist at Kent Clinics, which offers the treatment, is that when an arachnophobe is exposed to a spider in a certain way, it reacts a fear memory. After exposure, the arachnophobe receives a single dose of propranolol, a widely used beta blocker. The beta blocker disrupts the way the memory is stored, eliminating the fear. Carosi says the approach is 80 to 90% successful in one session for fears to which the patient can be exposed, such as spiders and dogs, mice, needles, and confined spaces. The treatment is not available in the U.S. yet, where the conventional approach is exposure therapy. Basically, the therapist creates a fear hierarchy for the patient, starting with the least threatening exposure, for dogs, a stuffed toy, and working their way up to a real dog. The study looks at ways to make this kind of fear extinction psychopathy more effective by combining it with a drug called nabilene, a synthetic form of a chemical that enhances memory formation. According to Dr. Kaiser, people with fear, such as flying or PTSD or obsessive compulsive disorder, may have problems with fear extinction learning. Early research shows this approach can boost that form of learning and help alleviate those fears. Overcome the fear of re-injury. There's a huge wave that we can crush, and we are going to get over it. Here's a surf rider's experience. Most people standing astride a toe-in surf paddle at the apex of a 75-foot wave in Portugal would have exactly one thought: I am going to die. Brazilian big wave surfer Maya Gabriela understands this in her bones, literally in her right fibula, which snapped as the force of a squirrely 8-ish-foot wave yanked her off her board and her foot straps in 2013. A colleague on a jet ski dragged her to the beach where she was given CPR and rushed to a hospital. 7 years later, she has gone to successfully ride on more of these sea monsters, including the biggest ridden by a man or woman in 2020, a 73.5-foot behemoth wave. You think Gabriella is immune to fear? No. She says, I'm scared. And every time the season starts, it's really hard for me to accept that I want to ride big waves again. After her wipeout, Gabriella focused on her physical recovery. She ignored any mental repercussions from the accident, and because she wasn't in shape to surf big waves, never had to confront her insecurities about being able to handle them. When I reached peak performance, which was 4 years later, that's when I had a big mental breakdown. I was hospitalized and I couldn't get out of it. When Gabriella came back to the sport, decisions about which waves to take and what lines to ride were heavier. She takes anxiety medications to control her panic. She learned to trust her training and believe in herself. When attempting to come back from an injury, the most important skill is to focus on the moment, the task at hand. Many athletes recite mantras or adapt self-talk statements during high-pressure moments. In the NFL, players will say things like, playmaker all day, your time, see the ball. Gabriella often chants as she's being towed by a jet ski to the wave, and she leaves herself an out. The purest, most dizzying moment of terror always hits at the very top of a wave when she angles her board down that sheer face and chooses it. If I want to pull out, I pull out, she says, and over until the moment her tow and partner powers the jet ski to a safety over the back of the wave and she lets go of the rope. How about cope with the fear a loved one will get sick? Learning about statistics has helped me understand the pandemic data better. While sobering, it helps me process my fear of my parents getting sick. I'm talking to them more, and their stories of enduring hardships give me wisdom. How to crush financial fear. When you struggle financially, words can often ring hollow. I know this because so many times I ignored the advice of others when I had difficulty paying the rent, my loans, my credit card bills, and in my darkest moments, struggled to find food to eat. It's hard to see the bright side when times are so dire. It's difficult to see the promise of tomorrow when the day-to-day weighs so heavily on you. And no, good advice is not the same as money in one's hand. Still, I beg, don't be like me. Don't allow fear to swallow you whole. My pride and stubbornness and depression, magnified by money woes, all contributed to the cloudiness in my head in the past. I try not to live with regret. I admit that ignoring previous well wishes, words of encouragement, and advice were expensive mistakes. All that stubbornness did make me more depressed. I couldn't stop being scared, and I couldn't quit feeling like I'd failed as a man. 2020 only magnified the gross inequity that had long existed for so long for so many of us. Societal ills are not the fault of the individual impacted by them. Unfortunately, I don't have the funds or silver spoons to share with millions. What I can offer, however, are words that are not cash, but I assure you they aren't cheap. Forgive yourself for conditions not of your making. As far as your money woes go, if you can't pay all your bills, paying the ones that you can. If you have to move back home or crash with someone as you try to get on your feet, don't consider it humiliation. Be grateful that you have somewhere to lay your head. If you have to let go of certain dreams, or at the very least put them on the back burner in order to do something that helps you simply survive, don't view that as a failure. Life is so much harder for some of us than it should be, but life cannot be won in fear. If there's anything that I have learned from moving home twice, crashing on someone's sofa for longer than I would have preferred, or numerous hits to my credit score when the bills came too much to bear, it's that I wish I had let it sink into my soul as deeply as it did. It only delayed the focus I needed to figure out a way to forge ahead. You can overcome, but only after faith trounces your fear. How about ponder your mortality? In Bhutan, people think of the Buddhist concept of metta, or impermanence, every day. The Lama Dhammo Gayishin explained it to me that nothing lasts and therefore nothing can be held on to. All things change. All things die. The Lama told me to think of metta three times a day in the morning, afternoon, and evening. Pondering metta can be terrifying at first, but it adds clarity and urgency to every moment. There's no procrastinating or saying, I'll do X when Y happens. The practice has helped me reprioritize my life and made me calmer and more grateful and happy. Deal with the fear of sucking as a dad. Stephen Rina Leia, 46, has been charged by a grizzly bear has been stung by a bullet ant and stomped by a moose, but what hurt him the most was the size of a sesame seed tick. Over four decades, Rianella has developed a practice with the outdoors, a skill set to avoid and cope with dangers in all sizes. The tick gave him Lyme disease. It's all about knowledge, preparation, and being aware of your surroundings, he says. What's scary for him is the stampede of anxiety that comes with trying to be a great dad to three kids, 10, 8, and 5. Those fears are not fun to anticipate, deeply perplexing and hard to train for. The greatest fear is that your kids turn out to be not as good, and you know that you are the primary driver in that outcome. To avoid that, he shares his passion for the wild through family adventures that nurture a respect for nature. I think a lot about the values of self-sufficiency and adaptability. And spending time outdoors teaches that, whether it's learning to pack a bag, catching your own lunch, or tweaking a plan if a storm blows in. Outsmart a fear of needles. Ever since I had botched a blood draw while delirious with malaria as a kid, I fainted when getting injections. Yup, embarrassing. Recently, a doctor told me to tense and relax the muscles in alternating limbs, not the biceps area, and breathe deeply through my nose. It stabilizes your blood pressure, and I haven't fainted ever since. Scare yourself stronger. Watching horror movies has surprisingly psychological benefits, according to new research. In the lead up to Halloween 2020, while most of us were trying to figure out how to trick or treat from 6 feet away, University of Chicago researcher Colturan Shriver, PhD candidate, was in an interactive haunted house in Denmark. He was in an interactive haunted house in Denmark, studying people in masks, choosing whether to deliver a rival of leaked contaminants to the rebels or the government. Scribner's studies morbid curiosity, a personality trait that involves turning toward images of death, illnesses, and violence rather than what would make psychological sense, running away. At the beginning of the pandemic, Shriver noticed that many people were doing exactly that. This pandemic movie, Contagion, had shot from 270 to number 2 on the list of the most watched Warner Brothers films. He distributed online surveys to figure out why and found that the scary movie watchers were faring better during quarantine than the non-scary movie watchers. Morbid curiosity, as a trait, seemed to make people more resilient to psychological distress. Shriver's latest preliminary research suggests that people who have experienced trauma are more likely to engage in morbid curiosity, perhaps using it as a way to process negative thoughts or to feel prepared for other bad things that may happen. Just anecdotally, if you look on Reddit or online horror forums to talk to horror fans, a lot of them will say they use horror to cope with traumas in their life or cope with anxiety or depression. You can try this. The next time you're feeling bad, put on a scary movie. It may help even out a depressed mood or focus your anxiety on an external source rather than the problems you're ruminating about. identify your hidden fears. Some people are so ingrained, some fears are so ingrained that you may not realize they're impacting your behavior. Correcting that requires societal and personal change. Philip Antibukoff, PhD, co-founder for the Center for Policing Equity at Yale University, surveyed more than 700 police officers in 2018 to better understand how bias impacts public safety. One finding seemed ironic. Police who were afraid of being seen as racist were more likely to resort to coercive tactics when dealing with community members. This, Goff explains, is a stereotype threat, a concern with being evaluated in terms of a negative stereotype about one's group. It often leads to underperformance, and while not tied to fear, may be exacerbated by it. When we're in a fear state, we're also often in a scarcity mindset, he says. You start hoarding resources like information. Stereotypes are shortcuts that help us make better sense of the world. Those shortcuts backfire for a number of reasons, but often when we perceive other stereotyping us. In the instance of those police surveyed, they resorted to coercion when their sense of legal authority failed, says Goff. In the end, affirming the stereotype they tried not to avoid. The effect has serious implications. In the U.S., black men are 2.5 times as likely as white men to be killed by police. Overcoming bias is a complex personal and societal problem. Diversity in the workplace is one promising way to change stereotypes. You can take digital impact assessment quiz at Project Implicit. There are tests that examine you for your bias related to weight, gender, age, and disability, and race. Another tactic is to remind yourself to evaluate people based on their personal characteristics rather than those affiliated with a group. Still, Goff argues, systematic change is necessary, and buzzy and anti-racism training isn't enough. There's the translation of anti-racism as if it's a self-help concept, he says. But if we reduce resisting racism to just a thing that makes you a better person, we missed the whole point. Banish your fear of failure. Escape a negative feedback loop with these tips. Identify the specific fear. Anxiety is often vague. What if I fail, or what if something bad happens? Narrowing down the fears makes them more specific and manageable. Try mental contrasting. When visualizing a plan to overcome failure, don't just imagine success. Visualize the grind as well. This prepares you better and anticipates roadblocks. Answer what ifs. When you start answering the worst-case scenario questions, you start to explain how you would cope, de-weaponize anxiety, and reduce stress. And failure is not forever. Failure is an event, not an identity. Remember that failure is a temporary experience, not a destination. It doesn't feel good, but learn something and move on. Rewire your fight-or-flight circuitry. Overcome any fear using this simple strategy by Wim Hof. After Wim Hof's wife committed suicide in 1995, the father of four was paralyzed with fear. And to gain control, he experimented by seeing how much exposure to freezing cold he could endure. By breathing deeply and focusing his mind, he was able to warm his core and skin and temperature. He effectively trained his mind not to freak out when his body was sensing fear signals. 2-minute wonder. You can do the same by taking a daily cold under 60 degrees shower for 2 minutes. You can start with a warm shower and then spray only your feet and legs, and then gradually go to full immersion for as long as you can handle, say 30 seconds. After doing this 5 days a week for 4 weeks, your mind will start to override the fight or flight response, and you will feel empowered in other situations when facing fear. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Toni Ray with Healthy Life. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Starting Monday on the Noon Book Hour, a selection from our Western section, Under the Sweetwater Rim by Louis L'Amour. Deep in Indian country, Major Mark Devereaux and his men find a grisly scene, a wagon train savagely attacked with no survivors. One of the wagons originally with the group is missing. In it is a fortune in gold and Devereaux's daughter, Mary. The slaughter, Devereaux learns, was not the work of Indians, but of a murderous outlaw band. With the stakes rising in a deadly game, the only wild card is Lieutenant Tenador Bryan, who is riding with the missing wagon, against orders. Devereaux knows Bryan is a good soldier, but is he good enough to protect a saddlebag full of gold and the life of his daughter? Under the Sweetwater Rim by Louis L'Amour, starting Monday at noon and Tuesday at 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 80 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-50s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hello, this is Michael with a programming reminder. The coronavirus update will now air this afternoon following the local newspapers at 4:30 p.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Morgan Mallon, bringing you Martha Stewart Living. I'll be reading from the March 2021 print edition of Martha Stewart Living magazine. The first story is Show the Love, text by Naomi Barr. Your heart works nonstop to keep your blood pumping, your organs fueled with oxygen, and your energy up. To keep it strong and healthy, make these smart and simple decisions throughout your day. The best news? It's a lot easier to help protect your ticker than you think. Given that heart disease is the number one cause of death of adults in the U.S., it's surprising, even alarming, how little people know about it. The condition kills more women each year than all cancers, including breast cancer, combined. In fact, 68% of Americans don't know, according to a recent Cleveland Clinic survey. About 1 in 16 white, black, and Hispanic women over age 20 has it. We're also fuzzy on preventing it. In the same survey, only 20% of respondents thought you should start getting your cholesterol tested in your 20s, true, while 58% said that popping an aspirin every day can help protect you, false. There are things you can do to fend it off, though, and they don't involve a pill. Most incidences of cardiovascular disease, which shows up as coronary artery disease, aka CAD, the most common form, a heart attack, or heart failure, can be prevented by making healthy choices like eating better and exercising. Consider the nearly 89,000 women researchers followed for 20 years for a 2015 study published in Journal of the American College of Cardiology. 73% of the cases that cropped up among them might have been avoided, it found, had the subjects taken steps to keep their blood pressure, cholesterol, and weight in check, among other factors. We now know that these actions matter even more around menopause, when dipping estrogen levels may make women extra vulnerable. This round-the-clock routine shows how easy it is to achieve these goals on a daily basis. 7 a.m. Rise and breathe. It may sound redundant to close your eyes and meditate the minute you wake up, but stay with us. The logic is twofold. For one, the American Heart Association endorses practices like meditation and mindfulness because research consistently affirms that they can help us manage our blood pressure, cholesterol, and stress. And two, you're most likely to commit when you do it first thing in the morning, per the popular app Headspace. 10 to 20 minutes is optimal, but sessions of even 5 can have a striking effect. Recent research shows that meditating can improve heart rate variability, a sign of a healthy ticker, and a small 2013 study published in the International Journal of Psychophysiology revealed that people who logged that amount daily gave theirs a boost. 7:30 a.m. Break a sweat. Do something that gets your breathing harder and your blood pumping faster. The American Heart Association defines this as moderate exercise and advises getting 150 minutes of it a week. If you're in a rush, don't worry. You can do a half hour now or some 10 or 15 minute bouts later in the day. It doesn't matter, says Michelle Olson, PhD, Senior Clinical Professor of Sports Science and Physical Education at Huntington College in Montgomery, Alabama. It can be getting on your elliptical, walking the dog, or climbing stairs in your house while doing chores. Or, to kickstart your morning, try this 4-minute circuit from New York City wellness expert Robert Brace. 20 seconds each of running in place, jumping jacks, air punches, and squats. Push yourself to go as fast as you can, resting between exercises. Repeat twice. The quick bursts of high intensity followed by short bursts of rest can help you raise your metabolism, burn fat, and build muscle in a fraction of the time, he says. At least twice a week, add strength or resistance training, advises cardiologist Lena Matthews, MD, an assistant professor of medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore. A 2019 study out of Iowa State University that tracked more than 12,500 adults observed that those who lifted free weights or hit the bench press regularly cut their heart disease risk by 40 to 70%. Using your own body weight by doing push-ups, squats, and Pilates counts too. 8 a.m. Get your oats. Oatmeal truly is the champion of breakfasts. The grain brims with soluble fiber, which helps subdue harmful LDL cholesterol and keeps your arteries clear. The steel-cut kind has a lower glycemic index than instant or rolled, so it's best for your blood sugar. If you don't have time to stir over the stove, start the night before. Combine half a cup each of steel-cut oats and almond milk and a teaspoon of nut butter in a jar. Add a drop or two of stevia, glycemic index zero, and chia seeds for fiber, and chill in the fridge till the morning, suggests registered dietitian Vanessa Risotto, acting director of the diet internship program at New York University. When you're ready to dig in, top it with antioxidant-rich, artery-protecting blueberries, strawberries, or apple slices. 8:30 a.m. Clean your teeth. Brushing and flossing not only prevent cavities, they clear away the bad bacteria that can cause gum disease. We've known for a while that if you have that, you're 2 or 3 more times likely to develop CAD. But new findings published in the Journal of Dental Research may pinpoint why. Gum disease appears to trigger an overproduction of infection-fighting white blood cells called neutrophils. While that's beneficial at first, they go on to release inflammation-causing cytokines in your body that can irritate blood vessels and cause arterial plaque to form. This, in turn, can set the stage for a heart attack or stroke. Got your brush out? Good. Now keep it going for the 2 full minutes recommended by the American Dental Association. Shorter brushing times have also been linked to blood vessel damage, an early indicator of CAD. Moving along to flossing. Some studies say it's okay to skip, but any dentist will tell you it's non-negotiable. To make it a snap, try a water flosser. There's no winding the thread around your fingers and maneuvering it inside your mouth. It's fast, and it's phenomenal for gum health, says Richmond, Virginia-based practitioner Graham Forbes. He suggests buying one with a pressure of at least 70 psi to do the job right. Also, it's fine to floss just once a day, either in the morning or before bed. 10:30 a.m. Refill your coffee, and keep it coming if you want. Data has very consistently shown that for each cup, up to about 6, there's a decreased risk of cardiovascular disease, says cardiologist Carol E. Watson, MD, PhD, director of the UCLA Women's Cardiovascular Health Center in Los Angeles. Researchers have yet to discover exactly how coffee is protective, but it's thought that the potent antioxidants and caffeine play a role. Just go easy on the sugar, which can contribute to inflammation and high-calorie creamers. 12 p.m., break for lunch. Don't wait till your stomach is growling, or the credits roll on The View, or the meeting you know will run long winds down. Aim to eat at the same time every day. That makes it easier to maintain a healthy weight and a healthy heart, research concludes. As for what you put on your plate, most experts agree that a Mediterranean-style diet is the clear winner for your cardiovascular system. That means mostly whole grains, leafy greens, and other vegetables, fruits, nuts, and legumes, some poultry, fish, and low-fat dairy, and only occasional red or processed meats. Instead of thinking, I'll have a piece of chicken or fish with a few carrots on the side, it should really be, let me make this plate of vegetables with a little bit of chicken or fish on the side, says Andrew Freeman, MD, the Denver-based co-chair of the American College of Cardiology's Nutrition and Lifestyle Work Group. 2 p.m. Take a lap. We've all made some not-so-great impressions on our sofas and desk chairs over the past year. Sitting for long stints isn't just bad for your waistline, it's bad for your heart. Luckily, it doesn't take much to offset inertia. A half-hour stroll can undo the negative effects of sitting for 8.5 to 10.5 hours, says a new analysis in British Journal of Sports Medicine. What's more, just 11 minutes has a measurable benefit and can help you live longer. We all have time for that. 3:30 p.m. Snack smart. The cognitive nosedive you're sensing is real, so give your tired eyes a break from the computer screen and power up with healthy fats and protein. Rosetto mixes a teaspoon of nut butter or Nutella into non-fat plain Greek or Icelandic yogurt to make a pudding-like treat, or stirs a teaspoon of powdered ranch dressing into the yogurt and dips in sliced vegetables. For a warm bite, top a Wasa multigrain cracker with marinara and a thin slice of mozzarella and toast it. 6 p.m. Eat dinner. See, lunch, but aim for smaller portions. A study published last year in Nutrients discovered that women who took in most of their calories at breakfast and lunch had a lower body mass index, BMI, than those who ate more at night. The lower your BMI, the less likely you are to develop cardiovascular disease, particularly heart failure and coronary heart disease. 8 p.m. Pick a sitcom. Researchers at the University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore saw that when their study subjects watched a comedy, the lining of their blood vessels, aka endothelium, responsively relaxed and expanded, boosting healthy blood flow by 22% on average, about the same benefit as light physical exercise, and the effect lasted about an hour. If you must watch American Horror Story, chase it with lighter fare. When the same subjects watched a stress-inducing film, their endothelium, which, when damaged, is an early mark of heart disease, constricted so much it reduced their blood flow by 35%. Now that's scary. 11 p.m. Hit the sack. A consistent bedtime is paramount to healthy sleep. Turning in at erratic times is linked with a higher BMI and blood sugar and blood pressure levels, and it increased rates of stroke, per a 2018 Duke University study. If 11 is early for you, make sure to allow for 7 to 8 hours of shut-eye. Says Freeman, when it comes to helping prevent heart disease, or any disease for that matter, that's the sweet spot. The case for keto. For years now, the ketogenic diet has grabbed attention for how swiftly its followers slimmed down. Now it's getting scientific bona fides for helping people who have type 2 diabetes control their blood sugar, and potentially protect their hearts, since over time, high blood sugar can damage blood vessels and increase one's risk of cardiovascular disease. What the evidence says so far? In favor. Keto, which is all about fats, calls for drastically cutting carbs, which turns out to be a particularly effective way for anyone who is overweight or obese to shed pounds and lower their risk. Against. The studies so far are short-term, yet the diet may well do harm in the long run, since the extra saturated fats consumed in red meat, say, are linked to heart disease. People are mesmerized by the weight loss and diabetes control, but if they end up dying from heart attacks or cancer down the line, then what? Says the American College of Cardiology's Andrew Freeman, MD, co-author of a recent study in the American Journal of Medicine on the impact of keto and intermittent fasting diets on heart health. The verdict. Neither Freeman's study nor his organization fully endorses keto yet, but some cardiologists do support its use in certain cases. So talk to your doctor about the diet that is best for you. That story was Show the Love, text by Naomi Barr. The next story is On the Dot, text by Claire Sullivan, recipe by Greg Lofts. Lamington Thumbprint Cookies. These sunny thumbprint cookies come from a land down under. They're a riff on classic Australian Lamingtons, small cubes of sponge cake layered with jam, dipped in chocolate, and coated with coconut flakes. Our bites feature the same jazzy flavor trio, but replace the cake with a soft, chewy dough. Dollop your favorite preserves on top, a quick boil makes them set, and round up your closest mates. For this recipe, you'll need 1 stick unsalted butter, softened, 1/3 cup sweetened condensed milk, 1/2 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, we use Diamond Crystal, 1/4 teaspoon baking powder, 1 cup unbleached all-purpose flour, a half cup unsweetened finely shredded coconut, 4 ounces semi-sweet baking chocolate such as Baker's, chopped, and a half cup orange marmalade or other flavored jam, such as pineapple or strawberry, or a combination. Step 1. In a bowl, whisk together butter, condensed milk, vanilla, salt, and baking powder until thoroughly combined. Add flour, stirring with a spoon until a dough forms. Cover and refrigerate until firm enough to handle but still tacky and not too stiff, about 30 minutes. 2. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. With dampened hands to prevent sticking, roll level tablespoons of dough into bowls. Toss in coconut, pressing gently to adhere. Transfer to a parchment-lined baking sheet, spaced 1 inch apart. Press each center with a thumb or finger to create a deep indentation. 3. Bake until cookies are just set and golden on bottoms but still soft, about 10 minutes. Press down centers again if needed. Let cool completely on sheet. Melt chocolate in a bowl set over a double boiler or in a microwave on low. Dip bottoms of cookies in chocolate and return to parchment-lined sheet, bottom sides down. Bring marmalade to a boil in a small saucepan. Strain. While still warm, spoon about a 3/4 teaspoon into center of each cookie. Refrigerate until chocolate and marmalade are set, at least 30 minutes. Set cookies can be refrigerated in an airtight container up to 3 days. Active time 35 minutes, total time 1 hour 15 minutes plus cooling, makes 20. That story was On the Dot, text by Claire Sullivan, recipe by Greg Lofts. The next story is The Electric Slide, text by Tina Chadha. Like a good dance partner, your vacuum should glide across the floor with you weightlessly, spin nimbly and manage corners, and leave you smiling when you part ways. Choose the right one and take care of it, and you'll cut a rug together for years to come. No home appliance deserves more respect than the vacuum. Yes, the combed rows it leaves on the carpet are exhilarating, but it's also the secret to a healthier, clean-as-can-be place. One of the biggest indoor culprits for allergies and asthma is dust mites, says Purvi Parekh, MD, an allergist with the Allergy and Asthma Network in New York City. The microbes settle into carpets, rugs, upholstery, pillows, and mattress folds, triggering reactions. Run your machine often, and your lungs, nose, eyes, and skin will thank you. These tips make the job more efficient and, dare we say, fun. First, find a match. The secret to being a good housekeeper is a good vacuum, says Luis Quezada, director of housekeeping for Four Seasons Resort Los Cabos. Looking for love? Consider these factors. Suction and filtration. You want a motor with 1,000 or more watts to suck in dirt and fur for pets, and a fully sealed filtration system, such as HEPA, to trap it. Bag or no bag. A reusable dustbin is more eco and economical, but it can be messier to empty and clean, says George Jumakaris, product manager at Miele. Allergy and asthma sufferers, opt for bags. Cord or no cord. Battery-powered models can tackle light cleaning jobs faster and head out to handle the car seats. Just check for sufficient runtime. If you're pro cord, check the length. They can be vexingly short. Treat it right. A little TLC will keep the motor purring and extend its life. Empty it often. Check the bag or cup before every use and replace or dump it out when it's 3/4 full. Full bags strain your motor and kill suction, says Melissa Homer, chief cleaning officer at Made Pro. Maintain filters. Clean washable ones monthly with warm water and dish soap. Let dry fully before replacing. A disposable HEPA will last 6 months to a year. For extra mileage, blast it with compressed air, outdoors. Shine it up. When the attachments and canister look dingy, spray on all-purpose cleaner and wipe them down. Rub bristle brushes with a damp towel. If you've scuffed the shell by banging it around, rub the marks with a Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and all-purpose cleaner. Mind the beater bar. Watch for hair buildup, a biggie for pet owners. Remove a tightly wound coil by running scissors or a knife along the bar's length. Inspect the cord. If you notice fraying or breakage, stop and take the unit to a repair shop. Reduce the risk of damage by always unplugging at the socket, never by pulling the cord. Take it on tour. Attachments get your machine off the floor and onto baseboards, windowsills, fan blades, and these fuzzy spots. Lampshades and curtains. Fit the nozzle with the dust brush, the softest, fluffiest one that comes with it, says Homer. Mattresses. Get into the grooves with the upholstery attachment, the triangular one with no bristles and a flat head. Foam pillows are fair game, too. Lint filter and dryer vent. Deep clean the former with the dust brush, then use the crevice tool to get into and degunk its slot. Air return vents. A swipe with the dust brush helps ensure that the warmer, cool air blowing in doesn't bring extra grime with it. Pet beds. Shake them outdoors, then disappear lingering fur and dander with the upholstery tool. Raise your game with these expert tactics. 1. Slow it way down. Research shows that vacuuming at a snail's pace agitates carpet fibers better. Going at half your usual speed makes a vast difference, says James McCray, senior mechanical engineer at Dyson. 2. Swap pinstripes for plaid. After you do slightly overlapping rows in one direction, repeat using perpendicular strokes to lift every last speck. Rave Review, My Roomba Rita, by senior editor Elise Moody. I never expected to fall for a robot vacuum. I actually adore this chore. When I was little, my parents built and flipped houses. Before showings, I loved sprinkling on cinnamon-scented carpet powder and making it disappear. But when I moved into my then-boyfriend's condo and found an unopened Roomba his mom had given him, I couldn't resist. Rita, as I named her on the iRobot app, left the place hotel clean on her first spin. Stray rice on the kitchen floor, the cat litter that crunched underfoot in the bathroom, gone. I hadn't been robbed of a ritual, I had been given a gift. So when a new, more affordable, self-emptying model came out, I had to try it. As my now fiancé says, referencing the Pixar movie, Rita 1 is Wally, a little clunky and loud, but devoted and hardworking, while Rita 2 zips around like Eve, gliding over our hardware floors and rugs and into her charger. I'd be lost without them. Magic wands. Every time we turn around, it seems there's a new cordless wonder touting longer battery power, better suction, and a lighter weight, higher tech design. Our staffers maneuvered more than a dozen over hill and dale and found great options at every price point. The Seeker. Tenneco's Pure One X earned raves for its numerous nifty attachments and spec-spotting headlights, rare for a model its price. $230 at Walmart.com. That's WALMART.com. The Excavator. The compact Roborock H6 lifted in an astounding amount of gunk left by our tester's regular vac and held onto its charge for $450 at Walmart.com. The Overachiever. A narrow base, 60-minute charge, and three-mode design let the Miele Triflex nab crumbs under cabinets, then tackle stairs. From $499 at Miele.com, that's Miele.com. The Virtuoso, the sleek, easy-to-empty Samsung Jet 90's design is as striking and pleasing as its performance, and the dock has room for an extra battery. For $649 at Samsung.com, that's Samsung.com. That story was The Electric Slide, text by Tina Chadha. The next story is The Pod Squad, text by Claire Sullivan. Rich in protein, fiber, and iron, lentils are a dynamite addition to a plant-friendly diet, and their earthy flavor and satisfying textures, some have a firm bite, others cook up soft and creamy, make them a trusty test kitchen staple in soups, salads, and more. Learn their different personalities and put them to delicious use. 1. Yellow and red. Often sold split or halved with the outer seed removed, these are easy to smash. We love them for thickening dips like hummus and stews such as khichdi, an Indian dish made of vegetables, rice, and spices. 2. French green. This kind, also known as lentils du Puy, takes time to cook. Start checking at 25 minutes. But its tenderness gives substance to salads and roasted veggies. It's great tossed with sautéed mushrooms. 3. Brown. These shapeshifters, they hold their structure but are mashable too, are the most common and versatile variety. If you prefer more bite, watch them when simmering so they don't get too soft. Add a cup to soup for heartiness, stir them into a pilaf or mix them into veggie burgers. 4. Black. Toss this small variety into any recipe that calls for green ones if you prefer a firmer, more al dente texture. They're ready to go in about 25 minutes. How to cook them. Bring 2 cups picked to remove tiny pebbles and rinsed lentils, 3 cups water, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, and a pinch of freshly ground pepper to a boil in a medium saucepan. Reduce heat to medium-low. Simmer until tender. Start checking at 20 minutes as cooking times vary. Drain if necessary. Let cool. Refrigerate in an airtight container up to 5 days or freeze up to 3 months. For our favorite lentil recipes, visit marthastewart.com/lentils. That's marthastewart.com/lentils. That story was The Pod Squad, text by Claire Sullivan. The next story is Ask Martha. What's the best way to make a quick vegetable stock? From Myla Smithson in Madison, Wisconsin. You can extract major flavor from produce like onions, carrots, broccoli, celery, and leeks, anything in the crisper really, even if it's seen fresher days, in a fraction of the time it takes to simmer bones for meat broths. First, pulse the vegetables in a food processor until finely chopped. Then fill a saucepan with about twice as much water as you have vegetables, bring to a boil, and stir them in. Plus, for non-vegans, a hard cheese rind such as Parmigiano Reggiano to impart umami. Turn off the heat, cover, steep for 5 minutes, and strain. Use the stock as a base for springtime risottos and soups, to braise greens, or to cook grains. Once it's cooled, it will keep for up to a week in an airtight container in the fridge, or up to 6 months in the freezer. Do you have advice on moving with dogs? From Jolene Lehman in Springfield, Illinois. The upheaval can be jarring on pups, who tend to be territorial and wary of change. Leading up to the day, stick to Snoopy's usual routine and desensitize him to the sights and sounds of packing, says NYC veterinarian Lisa Littman. Pull out suitcases and build boxes a few weeks ahead, hiding treats around them. If you can, visit your new neighborhood beforehand and let him sniff out a walking route or park. On moving day, place treats in each room and explore with your dog on leash, letting him uncover the rewards, says Littman. The instant positive association helps tells him, you're safe here. Also, be sure his microchip info is updated, and he has the required vaccines for your new locale. Scout out veterinarians pre-move, too. Test kitchen tip. Less is more. To adapt any baking recipe for a convection oven, either reduce the temperature by about 25 degrees or cut the cooking time by 25%, says Living Assistant Food Editor Riley Wofford. Both tactics are possible because of the appliance's supercharged efficiency and speed, generated by a fan system that circulates hot air around food. Riley prefers the former option for baking, and the latter for items that take an hour or more to cook, like a pot roast or whole chicken, since the amount of time saved is that much greater. Health check. Fill in the blanks. While the COVID vaccine is top of mind, make it your mission to get up to date on all your shots. If you can't recall which you've had or when, check with your former doctors or schools you attended, says Ada Stewart, MD, president of the American Academy of Family Physicians. Some state health departments have immunization information systems that may list your details too. No luck? Antibody tests can determine whether you have immunity for some illnesses, hepatitis A and B, measles. But revaccination is also a simple and safe option, says Kelly Moore, MD, MPH, Deputy Director for Immunization Education at the Immunization Action Coalition. Your doctor can develop a plan based on your age, lifestyle, and medical history. As a baseline, all adults need a flu vaccine annually and a tetanus booster every 10 years, Moore adds. Take the heat. Temperature checks are now a national pastime. If you need a new thermometer, pick a digital one. Mercury models can shatter, releasing their toxic contents, based on your needs. Then follow the directions carefully, says Jake Dutch, MD, founder of the Cure Urgent Care in New York City. Accuracy hinges on proper use. For no-frills types, an under-the-tongue stick is inexpensive, but it'll take up to a minute to work. Wash it between uses and avoid drinking or eating for 5 minutes before, says Dutch. Try Vicks Comfort Flex Digital Thermometer for $10 at Amazon.com. That's Amazon.com. For full houses, to safely scan several people in a row, opt for a no-touch and frayer type, advises Neha Vyas, MD, a family medicine physician at the Cleveland Clinic. Try iHealth No-Touch Forehead Thermometer for $30 at Amazon.com. For the squirmy, in-ear options are less invasive than oral and get a more reliable read on a moving target than no-touch gadgets do. Try iProven DMT 511. Its silent mode lets you gauge a sleeping kid's temp without waking her. For $20 at Walmart.com, that's WALMART.com. That story was Ask Martha. That concludes today's readings from Martha Stewart Living. This has been Morgan Mallon for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3. This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday Night Movie, we continue our series of Oscar-winning films. This year, the Academy Awards ceremony is Sunday, April 25th. Each Saturday through April 24th, we'll select an audio-described movie from each decade that won the Academy Award for Best Picture. Saturday night, we move to the fabulous 40s with The Lost Weekend from 1945, starring Ray Milland and Jane Wyman, and directed by Billy Wilder. The film was nominated for 7 Academy Awards and won 4. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Adapted Screenplay. It also shared the Grand Prix at the first Cannes Film Festival, making it only one of 3 films to win both the Academy Award for Best Picture and the highest award at Cannes. Famous critics called it powerful, terrifying, unforgettable, superb, brilliant. And now Paramount dares to open the strange and savage pages of The Lost Weekend.
The most startling novel of the decade. Brought to the screen with uncompromising frankness. Pulling no punches. Knowing full well the storm it would cause. For this is a relentless, terrifying tale of 5 lost days and nights. Torn from a man's life. Bearing his heart and soul. The Lost Weekend, starring Ray Milland in one of the great performances of motion picture history. And Jane Wyman as the girl who shared his desperate journey into fear.
You just happen to walk in on this. Now, if you know what's good for you, you'll turn around and walk out again. And walk fast and don't turn back.
Down strange, forbidden byways, he wandered in search of his soul. One woman loved him too much to let him lose it. Another wanted him enough to take him without it.
You do like me a little, don't you, honey?
Why, Natch, Gloria, Natch.
The Lost Weekend, the picture you'll be talking about for years to come. 1945's winner for Best Picture, The Lost Weekend, audio described. Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.